Each week, we try to go inside Chicago's fast-growing tech community to see what the next big thing might be. This week, we're featuring Tally App, which gives people the ability to remotely order and pay for beverages at their favorite bars in Chicago. Its co-founders Ryan Glosniak and Kevin Bulger are here. I'm Scott Catoon, and it's time to start talking about tomorrow's business today. Welcome to the show, guys.
Thanks for having us.
So I've actually had another app on the show before, so we're going to pick up the conversation kind of in that same area, and we'll start the same way as I did with him. I hate lines. Every line. I can't do, like, I am the most impatient person on the planet. I have, like, injuries to my hand because of lines, because I punch walls and things when I get upset, which is my own personal problem. But I think this can help. I think this app can help solve this problem. Where did you guys, first off, tell us a little bit what Tally is. So,
yeah, absolutely.
Sure, yeah. Tally actually does two things for the bar goer, nightclub goer, nightlife person. We provide a mobile tab management application, and we also include a feature, a mobile drink ordering application. So in simplest terms, you can walk into a bar, one of our partner locations, open a tab from your phone. When you're ready to leave, you walk out, and it closes automatically. Geofencing allows that to happen.
And then you can actually order, which allows you to pull the menu from the actual bar. We mirror the actual menu there, which allows you to pull the pricing, everything. And you can actually see that. You'll order it. The bartender will make your drink, then they'll receive the order on an iPad mini we provide them, and then you'll receive a notification when it's ready to be picked up. So no more broken hands.
I was going to say, that was my next question, other than the broken hand part. That was my next question was, you know, about the menu. I think that's one thing that other apps have come on that's what they're missing, is it's sort of like, basically, it's like a GPS alert button that you could get your waitress to come out, and they would give you the drinks. You could place your orders. You can get your, make sure the check comes in. But they didn't actually remove the from the equation that problem. Two things I really want to get into, one more technical than the other. The first part about this is, how do you feel like this is being received, will be received, and how it impacts the waitresses and the restaurants?
I mean, we make it very clear to them, like, we're trying to enhance the experience for the user and their customer. We're also trying to make their job easier and streamline processes on their end. So I mean, at first, you know, a lot of people in the industry are hesitant to change, but I think they realize we're not trying to remove the human interaction at all. We're just trying to make it a lot easier for them to transact, and then also make it easier for the bartenders at the end of the night when during the closing out process.
Okay, so, you know, like when I had Nick's the line on, and when we talked on the show, you know, we actually brought in a waitress for the interview because I wanted to get their like firsthand opinion. And I think that, you know, the waitress was younger, so she was probably more tech savvy and probably a little bit more open to this sort of thing, I suspect. And that's the case at clubs and downtown bars. I mean, most downtown bars don't have like 40 and 50 year old waiters and waitresses for the most part. But I could sense that there was a little bit of like, well, if I remove my face from this and I remove sort of some of the things that I'm able to do for you, the tip might be a lot less if I'm not in your face to like collect that extra cash.
Yeah, that's actually the great thing about our tab feature. They open the tab, business as usual.
Yep.
They order from the bartender. There's actually a tip built into the application, so the bartender doesn't have to worry about, you know, missing out on that opportunity because they're still engaging with the customer and that tip is guaranteed.
Well, yeah. So, I mean, to that point, though, so we weren't worried that there was not going to be a tip or that the tip would be like, you know, tiny or whatever. It's the part where, like, for example, I'm not talking about anyone like me or anything, have a tendency to be at a bar. And if it's a, you know, a cute waitress or somebody who you like or whatever, all of a sudden, next thing you know, it's like, you know, maybe it's 50% tip. I don't know.
Right.
You know, like, and they're worried about that.
Right. And to Ryan's point, you know, the tab feature of our application allows you, like he said, it's business as usual. They're going to apply the drinks. They're going to serve you the way they normally do. Like, you're sitting at the bar with an actual tab open. And at the end, we're actually building functionality, which we're releasing in the next month or so, that'll allow you to adjust the default tap tip. So you can actually change
the percentage
on the fly.
So you can change it sort of like on a cab.
Exactly. Yep. And also for the order feature, the way we look at this is, yes, that human interaction is important, but if it's 3-4 deep and it's a churn and burn operation, it's a Saturday night, they're hopping, the bartender's not going to have a lot of time to stop and schmooze. So
That's fantastic, and I think you're sort of also about to bridge yourself into the efficiency part of this.
Correct.
So if you're a company or you're a restaurant or, you know, really, actually even – this might be even the better. You look at like a Darden restaurants that own, obviously they own like Capital Grille and things, but they own numerous, you know, Bar Louie's and things like that. If they could use this app at every one of the 75 or however many Bar Louie's there are across the Midwest, or maybe it's nationwide, they could essentially say like it's systematic. So they can get, they know every one of those places could have more drinks go through it, more orders, more, you know, and more people can be served, which means more people can order more food.
Correct.
And I think that's something that, you might have a little bit of a challenge to show this.
And to your point, with our merchants, the early adopters that come on early on in the process or in our life cycle, I should say, we actually offer them free credit card fees. So we absorb all their credit card processing fees, and we don't charge them any merchant fees.
So you're going with kind of the savings model,
right,
then, we're going to show you what we save, and then if you like it, we'll take it away from you, otherwise you pay.
Exactly. And we want to reach a critical mass and increase our merchant footprint, because, you know, we can have all the customers in the world, but if we have nowhere to use it, then it's not going to be valuable, and we're not going to have regular customers every month or, you know, every other month. So as far as the actual as far as that we entice them and we try to bring them on and try to get them to, you know, that usually is enough to get them to give it a shot. Down the road, though, to your point, we do intend on down the road, no set date, but we do intend on charging the merchant. But that's when we can sit down, like you say, we can show the data behind it. We can say that, you know, you're going to see X percent incremental revenue from our application. This is the value we're adding. This is what we're going to be charging, which will be nominal for them. And this is why, you know, this is the value you're going to receive for that.
It's a very smart adoption model. Right. Very smart adoption model. I'm going to ask one more technical thing, and then we'll get into sort of like real quickly the journey about how you guys came together and did this thing. The technical thing, and I've dealt with this. I have a couple different app companies that I work with right now. And the big question, you brought it up already, is the hardware.
Right. Mm-hmm.
So if I am going to be trying to do fast adoption, that means I have to have some funding in order to put together I'm sure you guys buy refurbs or something on iPads, but mm-hmm. you're going to be spending approximately, you know, $400 to $600 per place, maybe a little bit more, to hand them a charged up iPad that they get to use. So if you were to open up at 20 locations or 50 or 100, that's a lot of money you guys have to put down up front. Absolutely. And that's got to be worked into your system. And then also add that you guys are using the adoption model we discussed. The revenue stream isn't high for you, so you're creating a bit of a backlog of, you know, of spending. Right. First, are you guys funded? How are you guys funding this? And really, what I really want to get on this, not to go too far off, but is what led you to choose this route?
Right.
I mean, initially, I'll let him speak to the funding piece, but in order to scale this to where we wanted it to be, get in as many locations as we can and provide our users a place to go, we felt that this was one of the most effective ways to do that, because while receptive to the technology and understanding of like the direction that the industry is headed and the way consumers are going, there was still that apprehension of bringing something on board that they're uncomfortable or unfamiliar with. So by providing them this opportunity at really no risk was why we decided to go that route, and is really a good, you know, chance for us to show the merchant how lucrative this, of an opportunity this could really be for them.
Well, yeah, for something like this, adoption risk aversion is the number one killer, right?
Sure.
So if you can minimize risk and reduce all of the possible pitfalls that they will have,
Your chance of
them picking you up is a lot better.
Exactly. And our tab functionality actually requires no additional peripherals outside of just integrating with their point of sale system. So there's no mini iPad, no printer, anything. So it can actually exist on their current point of sale system without actually having any additional hardware.
And so, of course, again, giving them this shows them that, answers that question and all that concern. Very smart.
Good, you know, good stepping stone into the ordering application if they so choose. Both features operate independently of each other, so Bar can choose to go with either or both.
Yep, very cool.
And to the investing front, we actually took on our first round of funding last year, right around a year ago, and we're in the process of taking on round two. We took on our first tranche this past week of round two, but we're not capped out yet on that. So any listeners out there interested in investing,
there's a couple of them sitting back behind the studio glass right now. You should talk to.
Excellent.
Very cool. Well, this is awesome. I didn't really get into the, like, what was the aha moment, because I think it's pretty obvious what the aha moment is.
Right.
How did you guys get together and decide to do this?
Well, I mean, it actually started, I used to trade at the Board of Trade in the futures market, and one of the founders, Jason, he reached out to me, and we traded together there, and he's like, what do you think of this idea, Kev? You know, so we were kind of batting it around. I'm like, I love it. I think it's the future. Let's size the market. Let's take a look at if there's any competitors, anyone else in the space right now, which right now it's really an open space. There's a couple other players out there, but no one has any real traction right now. So I think we're in a good position. So then the next person I talked to was Ryan here. I'm like, you want to come on and be our COO? So he's like, I'm in. I mean,
yeah, and that's kind of where it was June of 2014 that we actually started developing the application and developing the concept. And we were talking to out in the lobby before just about how we started selling it. And, you know, we didn't have anything. You know, we built GIF files and we built PowerPoint presentations of what we wanted it to look like. Yeah. Our UX guy.
Who built this?
So two fantastic guys we found, JC and Sean. I actually went to high school with them, Loyola Academy. And we reached out to them. They were just actually finishing up. They built their own mobile point of sale from scratch. They were kind of winding down that startup, so it was perfect timing. And they were already very familiar, very acclimated to the space. So I think that was kind of a match made in heaven for us.
Yeah, it was perfect. It was absolutely.
Very cool. Well, as you're in your journey looking for funding, she actually is here today. So make sure you reach out to Anne-Marie from View Ventures, because I know that they are looking for new things and they're probably entering their next investment round here. So I would definitely stick around and talk to her.
Absolutely.
Thank you, guys. Thanks, Kevin. Thank you, Ryan, for stopping by the studio today. You can watch this episode and more on Advisor TV. Stream this episode on WGN Plus and Rivet Radio apps. Download each episode on iTunes. And remember to stay connected by following us on Twitter at TBT on WGN. Boom. That's a wrap.